Our second reading today is from the letter to the Corinthians, the first letter to the Corinthians, beginning at chapter 12. Brothers and sisters, this is Paul writing to the church in Corinth. Brothers and sisters, I don't want you to be ignorant about spiritual gifts. You know that when you were Gentiles, you were often misled by false gods that can't even speak. So I want to make it clear to you that no one says Jesus is cursed when they're speaking by the power of God's Spirit. And no one can say Jesus is Lord except when they're speaking by the power of the Holy Spirit. There are different spiritual gifts, but the same Spirit. And there are different ministries and the same Lord. There are different activities, but the same God who produces all of them in everyone. A demonstration of the Spirit is given to each person for the common good. A word of wisdom is given by the Spirit to one person. A word of knowledge to another person according to the same Spirit. Faith is given to still another by the same Spirit. Gifts of healing to another one in the Spirit. Performance of miracles is given to another, prophecy to another, the ability to tell spirits apart by another. Different kinds of tongues are given to another, and the interpretation of the tongues to another person in the Spirit. All these things are produced by the one and same Spirit who gives what the Spirit wants to give to each person. May our hearts be illumined by the hearing of these words. So this time is a time of beginnings. We've been through Advent, which was the beginning of the Christian year, and we've celebrated the baptism of Jesus, the beginning of his ministry as he began to go into Galilee. And it's a time also, traditionally, to remember our own baptisms, which is another kind of beginning for us, a time when we go through a kind of initiation, embodying a shared commitment that we make to be members of Christian community together and to follow Jesus with God's help as best we can. So it's a time of beginnings and a time to think about what Christian community means to us. What does it mean to belong to each other, to belong to the body of Christ? As we think of welcoming our new members today, we think of expanding and growing our body. Every time a new person comes among us, we become a different body, a different group of people. The scripture right after the one that I just read is where Paul goes on to talking about how a body works. It's where he says, "For just as the body is one and has many members, and all the members of the body, though many, are one body, so it is with Christ. For in the one Spirit, we were all baptized into one body, Jews or Greeks, slaves or free. We were all made to drink of one Spirit." So when Paul speaks in our text today about spiritual gifts, brothers and sisters, I don't want you to be ignorant or uninformed about spiritual gifts. He's talking about how the body of Christians belong to each other and how they function in the world through these spiritual gifts. And he uses two different Greek words in this text. And I'm going to talk about both words and how they give us different insights into spiritual gifts. First, he uses a word, pneumatikos. It has the word pneuma in it. And you might recognize the word pneuma from the word for pneumonia. Pneumonia has pneuma in it because it's about breath and the lungs breathe. So something affecting the lungs, pneumonia. Something pneumatic is something having to do with air or gases. So my dad is a carpenter, and he has a pneumatic drill that is run by compressed air. So pneuma, the air. He tells me there are also pneumatic grinders and pneumatic ratchets and all sorts of pneumatic tools. And perhaps some of you know how those work. All I know is compressed air, pneuma. It's a Greek word that not only means air or wind or breath, but it also means spirit. And this same double meaning exists in the Old Testament, in the Hebrew, when God creates the world and God's breath goes into it. It's ruach in Hebrew, pneuma in Greek. And it means when God puts God's breath or God's spirit into the creation, that's the pneuma. So spiritual gifts are gifts that have the breath of God in them, the spirit of God and the power of God in them. They are pneumaticos, the things with pneuma, spirit. But later on in 1 Corinthians, Paul uses another word for these spiritual gifts. He calls them charismas, or in English sometimes we call them charismas, sometimes we call them charisms. But when we think of the word charisma in English, often we think of a very kind of rare quality of that person who's very charismatic and has a compelling attractiveness, is one definition, or charm that can inspire devotions in other people. But a second meaning of charisma is a divinely conferred power or talent. That's another meaning for charisma. And this is the biblical meaning that Paul is using when he talks about spiritual gifts. Now, there are a variety of charismas, but the same spirit is what he says. A variety of gifts, services, and activities, but it's the same God who activates all of them and everyone. To each is given the manifestation of the Spirit for the common good. So charismas are gifts that everyone gets. It's not that they're rare, it's just that they're unique in every person. It's an interesting word, charisma. It's related to, or it comes from, the Greek word charis, which means grace. So when God gives these particular charismas to us, God is giving God's charis, God's grace to us, and that grace of God, the power and spirit of God, is coming into us. These gifts aren't the kind of gifts you get wrapped up under the Christmas tree or piled on the side table at a wedding or a birthday party. They're gifts of a non-material sort. Gifts that change who we are. Or maybe these gifts are what make us who we are. What do we mean when we say that someone is a gifted person? Usually we mean that person has a great capacity to do something and to do it very well. And how does a gifted person become gifted? Those who really flourish and succeed certainly do work at their gifts. They practice and hone their skills, but it's much more than skill and practice. There's something in them that predisposes them to do that particular thing very well. And that's what I think is the gift from God, that thing which draws them to a certain way of being in the world, that predisposition, that I think is a charisma, a spiritual gift. It has to do with something about who a person is at a kind of fundamental level. It's a seed in them which heals them as they become more of that. There are people who are able to see the world in a way that other people can't see it, and they can represent that in art through music or writing or painting or sculpture. There are other people who can create food that's beautiful and nourishing and amazing, and cooking can be an art, balancing a budget. Some of us can do that, some of us can't. Writing a report, listening to someone in such a way that they feel truly heard and cared for. Creating a beautiful home can be an art. There are people who look at a situation and they analyze it systematically. And then there are other people who look at the details. They can't really do the system thinking, but they have this amazing attention to the little things that maybe a systematic thinker might miss. They're different gifts and strengths, different places that our attention are drawn to. Some people call this kind of perspective working from our strengths. We want to try to work from our strengths and nourish those things which come kind of inherently to us. You could call it working with your gifts. And when we do this, it brings a certain satisfaction. It tends to bring a sense of fulfillment or happiness, accomplishment. Maybe it even brings you a kind of joy, which word is also actually related to charisma and charis. The Greek word for joy is chara, And there's something about when we receive these gifts of God, the grace of God, that it brings a kind of joy to us. Something is a charisma because when you do that thing, you fulfill something of the purpose that God has for you. You manifest some capacity that God has placed in you, and you become more who you are. A couple of years ago, right about this time of year, I gave my mom a call, and I was telling her how much I loved receiving through the mail a little hand-carved figure of Santa Claus from my dad at Christmas. And I forgot to bring it in here with me, but I brought it, I have it in my office. I'm going to show you at the fellowship hour. So adorable. And my dad had carved it, and my mom had painted the little red suit and the little black boots, and it has a long pipe that Santa's holding like this. You can actually take the pipe out. It's really amazing. And so I was telling my mom that, and then she started describing to me this wooden jewelry box that my dad made for her. Had little glass windows and six little drawers for her rings and bracelets and a twirly thing for her necklaces to hang on. And as she described it to me, she said to me, "He's so amazing." And that was so touching to me. And he is so amazing. My dad has a gift for wood, with woodworking. And he has been working with wood his whole life, even though that hasn't been his main job. He worked as a customer service agent for the airlines for most of his career. When he retired from that, he worked as a mason's helper for a little extra cash, for a little post-retirement stability. And now finally, he's been really retired for a couple of years. When he was working nights and weekends, he was in the barn working on wood. Now that he's retired, you know, his mornings are there working in the barn. He built the house I grew up in. He has made furniture and old tiny pull toys where when you pull them, the duck's mouth comes open. He's made huge rocking horses, and he made like a set of rocking horses with a cart, a wagon, you know, that looks like it's being pulled behind them. And by special request, he made a rocking snail for a little kid and a rocking rabbit. He is amazing. And that is one of his charismas, one of his charisms. That's a gift, a special capacity, and a love that has been placed in him. And I know that when he goes to the barn, he heals. He becomes more whole. He expresses something of who he is. And that is amazing. When we use our charismas, our spiritual gifts, we express something of the beauty and the power of God, even if it's something more like making a beautiful spreadsheet, different from a rocking rabbit. But it's a kind of gift and capacity that we have. God has placed in us something of God's spirit, God's breath, God's pneuma. In Romans, Paul writes that we have gifts according to the grace of God. We have charismas according to the charis, the grace of God. Charis means grace and gift. And these are things that we receive, but it's also something that we give back to the world. You might recognize the word charis in another word that we use around here a lot. Eucharist has that grace and that gift in the middle of it, but here it means thanksgiving. Eucharist is the good graces that we give back to God, or gratitude that we lift up in the Eucharist. And that's a way that we can respond to the gifts that are given to us in this kind of graceful way. Because when God gives to us, God also gives us to the world. And we can bring those graces out into the world. And as Paul said in our text for today, we get these graces for the common good. So when we gracefully receive and turn around and offer them, we're working for the common good. So today we welcome new members into this body, into this collection of spiritual gifts that we have, so that we may be expanded and enlarged in our graces and in our gratitude. And none of us has to have all the gifts. We only have to have our gift, because together we have so, so many more. There's a beautiful benediction that I learned about last week while I was away on study leave. A pastor shared this benediction that's often given at the end of baptism, and it's based on the French Reformed tradition, and they give this benediction to infants who are being baptized. So I'm going to read that benediction to you and just tweak the ending a little bit so it's not just about babies, but it's about us too. So here's what they say. For you, the Spirit of God hovered over the waters of creation, beckoning forth life. For you, the Lord God dug into the dirt of the earth, fashioning a people to bear God's image, breathing life into their lungs. For you, the Lord God made promises to a chosen people, binding God's self to them with a cord of the covenant. For you, the Word of God became flesh and dwelled among us, filled with grace and truth. For you, Christ walked the earth, teaching and healing and showing the way of salvation. For you, Jesus suffered death, climbing up on the cross of Calvary and crying out, "It is finished." For you, Christ triumphed over death, rose in the newness of life, and ascended to heaven to reign over all of creation. To you, the Spirit of God is sent, carrying gifts of faith and fire, comfort and deep life-giving breath. All this was done for you, though you may not know it, and you may not remember it, but we will continue to tell each other this good news until it becomes to each of us our own. And so, friends, let us strive to discover what our gifts are, to accept and use all of our charismas with charisma, and to accept and use all of our graces with grace. Let us use our gifts for the common good, so that we may be a gift to the world.